Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your awesome love, God. We want to thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you were willing to give your Son. And Lord, that you were willing, Lord, to come down to save us. That you were willing to lay down your life, that we might have life, that we might come to the Father without fear, Lord. And we want to thank you for that, that we can face a holy God with boldness, with confidence, knowing that he loves us. And Lord, we want to thank you for that, that you have not just given your Son, but you have poured out your Spirit upon us. And Lord, you have given us life, eternal life, Lord, with you. Father, we just pray that as we're here in your name, Lord, I pray that you will give us an expectation, that you will speak to us through your word. And God, I pray that the meaning of my message would reflect the meaning of your word. And what is heard today is only your word and not the words of men, but the words of God, Lord. And I pray that you'll open our hearts, Lord, to receive from you today by your Spirit and through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's 2014. It's a new year. Exciting times for many. It's this time of year that we make big plans. We make New Year's resolutions. We focus more on the future than we do in the past, don't we? When a new year starts, that's really what we do. We look back, not so much, but we look forward and we plan towards the future and we set goals according to our desires and our needs and our dreams and our aspirations, and we prioritize and set these different goals that we would like to meet. You know, whether it's losing weight or exercising more, or finding a new job, start a new business, retire, do a little bit more of this, do a little bit less of that. And I'm sure we've all given it some thought, setting goals that we will be pursuing, the needs and the desires that we are hoping to be met and to be fulfilled in our lives. And we all have goals and priorities. And it's in this context of setting goals and priorities, looking to the future, to this new year, and having an expectation and planning accordingly, that I believe God is just speaking to us as a church. And there are four things that I would like to share, and I'm basically going to share out of Matthew chapter 6, and if you've got your Bible, you can definitely turn to that chapter, because we're going to stay there most of the time. And that's Matthew chapter 6 and I'm going to start over this verse in the context of our desires and our dreams and our aspirations and the goals that we set, that we pursue in this year. Here in Matthew chapter 6 from verse 33, God says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Who have you heard that verse before? It's a well-known verse. I love well-known verses. Few people preach on them anymore because they are so well-known. They become like a cliche. We kind of say it in passing. We know it off by heart, but sometimes I fear we no longer stop to think what it actually means. And this is one of these powerful verses that speaks so much truth to us, where God says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You know, the reality is we're all seeking after things, after different things and multiple things. You know, we have lots of goals that in life we pursue. And God is saying, in the midst of that, God is not saying, he's not ignorant, and he's not saying, do not search anything and only seek the kingdom of God. But in the context of seeking after many different things, God is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it's about that I would like to share this morning, or this afternoon, if I share this morning. God is not ignoring our needs and our desires, but he's speaking about priorities. He's speaking about simple priorities. He's saying, listen, in the midst of everything that you desire, in the midst of everything that you pursue, in the midst of everything that you set your goals towards, this should be first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Greek for this word first is proton, that literally means firstly in time, in place, in order or importance, first in rank. So God is saying there may be many things that you are seeking after, but I'm saying to you, seek first. I'm not saying this is the only thing that you should seek after, but I'm saying between everything that you're seeking after, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But then he's also speaking about something more than priorities. I believe God is speaking about pursuit. It's not just what is the priority in your life, but he's speaking about pursuit of life. You know, that Greek word for seek, zetio, that literally means to seek after, to seek for, to aim at, to strive after, to crave and demand something from someone. So God is not just speaking about priority, he's speaking about a pursuit in life. It's not just a nice to have. When God says seek first, when He says seek, it's not just talking about the fact that the kingdom of God should be a priority in our lives. He's saying the kingdom of God should be a pursuit in life. It should be something that you are craving for, that you're demanding. It's not just a nice to have, like, you know, it's nice to have a second home at the beach. And God is saying the kingdom of God should not just be a nice to have, you know, the Porsche in the garage, the third car. That's nice to have. We would like to have another car, you know. It's nice to have. God is saying the kingdom of God should not be a nice to have. It should be a demand, a craving for, a seeking after. You know, it's like a little baby. Who have you? Yeah, you're all young. Who have you got little babies? Who have you had little babies? Yeah, well, you know, I won't go that far. But you know, a little baby that is hungry, what do? They cry. They demand it. That's what they do. Sorry to break news to you, but when you get them, you will realize what is this seeking after. When your child is hungry, what they do is they demand it. They cry for it, and they continue to cry for it until they finally receive it. And that is what God is saying when He says seek first. When He says seek first, it's not just priority, it's a pursuit in life. It's something that we crave for, that we demand after. It's when Jesus teaches how we should pray, and He says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. As it is in heaven, so Father, let it be done on earth. It is a pursuit in life. And that's what God is saying when He says, seek first. It's not just a nice to have. It speaks more than priority. It speaks about this hunger and thirst for the kingdom. In Matthew 5 or 6, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And my question that I want to ask you this evening is a simple one. What do you hunger and thirst for? What are the things that you hunger and thirst for in life? What are the things that you really want in life? Because the thing that you hunger and thirst for, the thing that you really want in life, that will determine what you will be satisfied with. The thing that you hunger and thirst for will determine what you will be satisfied with. You know, when I'm hungry, my wife will ask me, what do you want? I mean, do you want pizza? Do you want pasta? Do you want a sandwich? Do you want chicken? I mean, what do you want? And the thing that we want determines what we'll be satisfied with. It determines what we consume. It determines that what we eat that will bring us to the place of peace, isn't it? So it's not just determining what we receive, it's actually determining what we will be satisfied with. Because in this life we all pursue something, because we have a hunger and thirst for it. And God is saying something powerful. He says that what you hunger and thirst for will determine what you're satisfied with. And blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, because you will be filled. And God is speaking to us as His people, and He says, listen here, in your pursuit of life, in all the desires, the needs and the wants, this one thing should be first: the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I can stop here. That's the first two things that I want to share. And for some of us here today, this is it. This is where the sermon ends. This is a word for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. So I want to leave it right there, and I want to continue, because the amazing thing about Matthew 6 verse 33, it's written in context, and that's one thing that I love about Bible school. When you go to Bible school, you will learn about interpreting scripture, and you will learn about the fact that when you read something that speaks to you, not just to read it in its singularity, but to actually look at it in context, to see what is God really saying. Because if I say seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you know what, all of us will have a different interpretation of what that means. But the moment you start to read it into context, and you're humble enough, and you allow scripture to interpret scripture, you know, all of a sudden we get to understand what is the heart of God. You know, because I can tell you what His righteousness means, and you can tell me something else what His righteousness means. But if we go to God and we humble ourselves and we search the scripture and we allow scripture to define what His righteousness is, we'll come to the right conclusion, the right definition. And tonight I want us to look at this simple, very well-known verse, and look in its context and see what God is saying, because I believe God is saying something equally important to us here tonight. So I want us to turn to Matthew 6 verse 25. And I want us to read the context in which God is speaking when he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And see if you can see, and maybe I've given you some clues there to make it a bit more obvious. Here in Matthew 25 it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, or what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, or what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the fields, for how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your Father, your Heavenly Father, knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do you see the context? Do you see all of a sudden verse 33 is placed in the context, and verse 25 summarizes this context so beautifully. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Who of you worry about stuff? Who of you are stressing about something in your life? I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes. Just you and God. Just close your eyes. And just for a moment, I want you just to think about the things that you are worrying about. Things that you are stressing about. Just for a moment. I love the way how God speaks through his Son when he says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. You can open your eyes. I mean, isn't it powerful? Jesus speaking, God speaking through his Son. And he's saying to you, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. I mean, that's so powerful when God speaks through his Son. I mean, God sees differently to us. He sees from a different perspective. You know, we are trapped in this temporal world. In this temporal world, we're limited by the natural order, and there's lots of pressures and realities and temptations, and there's lots of stuff coming in. And God, from a different perspective, looking from eternity into this temporal phase that is passing. And God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the All-Knowing, the Creator, the Sustainer of everything, looks from a different perspective, and He speaks to us, and He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. I mean, that's so powerful. This is God speaking, and He's speaking from His perspective about your life. This is God speaking. This is not Andrew speaking. This is not a pastor speaking. This is God speaking. Says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. And he places emphasis on this point, and he's pointing to the fact that, listen, within this world, just for a moment, look around you, look at nature, look at the birds, look at the flowers, look how my Heavenly Father cares for them, look how he feeds them, and he clothes them. They live almost carelessly, carefree in this life, because my Father takes care for them. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. I mean, I love this word, therefore. I mean, it is such a powerful word in the Bible. And as a matter of fact, I want to encourage you, whenever you read the word therefore, underline it. Who of you have ever underlined therefore? Not nobody. I'm the only... Are you there? Some of you? Okay, great. I'm one of those crazy people. Whenever I see therefore, I underline therefore. Because therefore is such a powerful word in Scripture. Because therefore normally is followed by a promise. And the therefore points to the premise of this promise. Therefore always points back to a premise, a principle on which the promise is standing, on which the promise is based, the foundation of this promise is standing on something, and the word therefore is like this link in between. And here is there's a powerful therefore. It says, therefore do not, it says, therefore do not worry. And it says, listen here, therefore, it says, look at how my Father cares for everything around you. Look at His character. Look at His faithfulness. Look at what He does all around you. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry. Because if He cares for the birds and He cares for the flowers, you are of far more value than all of that. Therefore, I say to you. But this is not just God speaking to us. This is God speaking through Christ. And I don't know if you've noticed that. But this is God speaking through Christ. This is the incarnated, this is the Word of God that incarnated into flesh. This is the incarnated Word speaking. This is the Son of God. God is not just speaking to you and me. He's speaking through His Son. He's speaking through the incarnated Word. This is God that says, I understand what you're going through. Not only because I am God that created all things. I understand because I became like you. I came down to the earth. I became man like you. I became vulnerable. I emptied myself of all godliness and glory and power to become a servant in the form of a man. I lived in this world. I was challenged by the same challenges. I faced the same fears and the same temptations. I lived this life. And therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. I understand where you're coming from. I understand the world that you're living in. I understand your fears. I'm not only the God who created this world perfect and cannot relate to the fallen nature and the pressures and the temptations and the sins that you are trapped into. This is Christ speaking. I physically came down to live it for myself. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. I mean, Hebrews talks about Hebrews 4 verse 15. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It is this God that humbled Himself to become like us, to live with us, amongst us, in the same broken world, that speaks from His vantage point into your life. And He's saying to you, do not worry about your life. I am saying to you, Christ, look to my Father and do not worry. You know, earlier during the offering, we read this portion of scripture in Luke 10 verse 41 that says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And maybe tonight that this is the other half. You are here tonight and there are many things that you're troubled and worried about. And God is saying to you, do not worry about your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6 verse 31 to 33, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And I need to stop here for a moment because of the charismatic world and different doctrines that goes into it, and there's sometimes a little bit of confusion about what is all these things that shall be added to you. You know, is it the second home? Is it the third home? You know, is it the Porsche? Is it the new wife? You know, is it the $1 million? You know, what is these things that shall be added to you? And I have to pause there for a moment just to bring clarity. What is this things that God is speaking about that He's adding to us, you know, because it's so interesting when you read this portion of scripture in its context, it actually speaks about our basic needs. It speaks about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear. It's not speaking about the third home on the beach. And so many people think that as you pursue the kingdom of God, the third home will be added. But that's not what God is saying. He's not talking about our wants. He's talking about our needs. He says, I know the things that you need. Therefore, do not worry. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God doesn't want to bless you with your wants. I'm not saying that. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God does not want to bless you with your wants. But the scripture promises our needs. He's not speaking about our wants. And please don't misunderstand him. I'm not saying it's wrong if you're rich. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm also not saying that God cannot bless you financially over and above what you need. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is what he is promising is meeting your needs. And the reason why this is so important is because you know what? There are just so many people that miss this point. God promises us eternal life. Life of abundance. And this whole portion of scripture is not about stuff. It's about our hearts. It's about where do you place your trust in? In what do you place your trust in? Where's your heart finding its security? Where are you finding your peace? What are you pursuing in life to gain peace? To gain that place of, I'm safe. I'm secure. I'm going to be fine. This whole portion of scripture is really just about that. Getting our hearts out of the world and into the kingdom. Getting our hearts out of the premise, the principle that governs this world. Because the principle, the premise that governs peace in this world is stuff. More money, more houses, more cars, more wives, different wives. That's what governs this world. And you know what? You're never going to be at a place where you can just be carefree, where you can just be, I'm safe. I'm going to be fine. I can actually enjoy life. In this world, you cannot have it unless you have stuff. Unless you have more stuff. And this world will constantly tell you you don't have enough to be able to say, I'm fine. And so we work harder and we work longer and we spend more time gaining more stuff and we sacrifice our family and we sacrifice our kids and we sacrifice our health so that we can have more stuff. Because the world says the more stuff you have, the more joy and love and peace you will find. And God, the Creator, the All-Powerful, the All-Knowing, the Eternal God, looking from a different perspective, says that stuff is not going to bring you peace. Therefore, I say to you, it's moving our hearts to trust and base our lives on the premise, the principle that governs the kingdom of God. And you know, verse 25 points to this so clearly that, listen, my heart should not trust in stuff, but my heart should trust in God. I should not be pursuing stuff to gain peace, but I should pursue God. Who is peace? And that's what this whole portion of scripture is all about. And verse 25 points to this so clearly. It says, therefore, I say to you. And there's another therefore. And I don't know if you've ever read the premise of this, because this whole portion of scripture that we just read is pivoting on this therefore. And then it leads to another therefore, and then it leads to this awesome promise. But it starts here with, therefore, I tell you, and if we look at the therefore, let's go to verse 19. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you see that? And then he goes on and he says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters.
You will either hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. You see, verse 25. The context is in what do you trust? And God is saying, listen, you can't trust in both. You're either going to hate the one and love the other, or despise the one and be devoted to the other. But you cannot have both. Who do you trust in? What do you trust in? And then God says something powerful. You cannot serve both. But if you trust God, if you decided to follow God, God says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about the life. Because you have chosen not to put your trust in stuff, but you've chosen to put your trust in me. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. And that's the powerful thing. It's about where do we put our hearts in getting our hearts out of this world into the kingdom of God, getting our hearts out of the premise, the principles that governs this world, and moving our hearts to trust and base our lives on the premise and the principles that governs the kingdom of God. You know why that's so important to me? Because I counsel so many people that are offended with God. They're offended with God because they didn't get the stuff. They didn't get the second home at the beach. They didn't get the promotion, they didn't get the wife, they didn't get the Porsche. And they're offended with God. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, how did you get in the kingdom in the first place? Who sold it to you? Who was the rep? Who was the sales guy? Because clearly he brought you under a wrong assumption. He clearly sold you something that God never promised. He never promised a second home. He promised you eternal life. He promised you forgiveness, salvation. That's what He promised you. For me, it wasn't difficult. I confess. I was depressed. I hated myself. I wanted to commit suicide. And at the point of suicide, God saved me. And I said, well, God, my life is a mess. I don't want it anyway. You can have it. But I gave Him my life because I realized that if I die, I'm going to hell. Because I'm a sinner. And all of a sudden, I realized that God gave His Son so that I can have life. He didn't want me to die, He wanted me to have life. And He wanted me to be free of the consequences, all the mess I caused. And that is eternal life. I don't have to go to hell, I can go to heaven because of what He's done. And I'm eternally grateful because I'm not going to hell. It doesn't matter whether I get the second house or I get the wife, it doesn't matter. I'm going to heaven. That's what it's about. That's what He promises us. Life eternally with Him. Without fear, without lack, without sickness. In eternal bliss and joy in His presence. As opposed to the consequence of my sin. Which nobody preaches about anyway. That's called hell. Okay, it's a real place eternally. Torture, torment. You don't want to go there. But that's what God sent His Son for. So you don't have to. Because He doesn't want you to go there either. And I'm excited to be saved because of what He's done for me. It doesn't matter where I get the second house. But so many people, they are sold the gospel and say, but if you follow Jesus, God is going to bless you with the second and the third and the fourth house. And you know, and then people don't get it and they get all offended with God. You know, and it's like a friend of mine said, you know, some people even, you know, we pursue stuff first. We desire stuff. And then we realize that God says, no, you mustn't pursue that first. That shouldn't be your primary pursuit in life. But you should first seek. You must first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things shall be added to you. And then we say, well, that's a great deal, isn't it? I don't have to pursue this anymore. I can pursue God and then all that is going to come. But that's not what God is talking about. And then all of a sudden we're pursuing God with strings attached. Well, I'm going to pursue you, but I'm still expecting all this stuff that I used to... That's not putting my trust in Him. You know, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 10, God speaks about it. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Have you heard that scripture before? I mean, it's such a powerful scripture. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. And then in case we're confused about what contentment means, he actually clarifies it. And he says, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. I'm sorry to break somebody's bubble, but that's what God says. And there are so many people that are not content in this life until they have the stuff. And God is saying, listen, yeah, I know what you need. And then he goes on and he says, those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And then the well-known verse, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. For some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Do you see that? God promised us eternal life. And it's in that life that we find peace. The world says you need this stuff to get peace. And God says, no, you need to find me and you will have peace. And you know what's so amazing? You know, God says we are strangers in this world. We are just passing through. You know, this weekend I was at the funeral of somebody that was 29 years old. The prime of his life. But you know what is so encouraging to me? The guy was a Christian. He followed Jesus. And I could with confidence say at the grave, death is not the end. It's only the beginning. It's the beginning of eternal life with God. I could encourage the parents and say, listen here, we are grieving today because of the loss of a son, a brother and a friend, but we are not grieving for Andre. We are grieving for ourselves. We are grieving because we've lost a brother, a friend. We have lost a relationship. But we're not grieving for Andre because Andre is in a better place. Andre is with his Savior. He has life eternally with him. And we're grieving our loss more than we're grieving his loss. We are left behind without him. And we are grieving that hole that is left within us. That relationship that's no longer there. But we're not grieving him. He's with God. Death is not the end. It's only the beginning. We're just passing through. We're on our way to eternity. And God is saying, don't get entangled here. Focus. Because this will lead to life. And that's the paradox of the kingdom. You know, somebody called the kingdom of God the kingdom of paradox. You know, Jesus says that if you want to gain your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life, you will gain it. You know, he says you must not hate your enemies, but you must love them. It doesn't make sense in this world, but it's yet in that paradox and the application of that that we gain the life, the peace that we are looking for. The world gathers treasures so they need not worry. That's what the world does. The world gathers treasures so that they need not worry, so they think it will produce them joy and peace. And God, from his perspective, the eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful God, says, seek first the kingdom. Put your trust not in wealth. Seek first not stuff, but put your trust in me. Not to get stuff, but to get me. And you will have peace. And I say to you, do not worry about your life. Because I know what you need. You just follow me. My life is a testimony of that. You know what? And please don't resign your job. don't misunderstand me. But my life, I gave up my inheritance, the farm. I was the firstborn. Father wanted to give me the farm, and I told my father, I believe God is calling me to the ministry. And I sold everything that I got, and I stepped out into the ministry, and the first 2 years I was a volunteer, and the third year I got a salary of 300 rand a month, and all I did is I was pursuing God with contentment. I was happy with the little that I've got. And you know what is so amazing about my life? My life is full of stuff. It's like all this stuff that I didn't pursue followed me. I mean, I've got a beautiful wife. I've got two daughters. I live in Hermanus. Have you been there? People work their entire lives to take 2 weeks off to go there. I live there. You know? And I've got one car, okay, but I've got three bicycles. Okay? And it's not that I've pursued this, I pursued God, and it's like these blessings, they followed me, and because I've never pursued them, they are like a blessing to me, and my heart is not attached to them, and when I lose something or break something, and I break lots of stuff, it doesn't hurt so much. Because God added to it and there's no sorrow attached to it. It's like a blessing. God, I'm so amazed at all those things. Thank you. It's about what God says, but seek first. And God adds, man, not just your needs. He'll even bless you with your wants, but that's not what it's about. So I want to end here and I want to ask you this simple question. Can you this year put your trust in God? And move your heart from this world into His world. Can we pray together? Father, I want to thank you. Father, I want to thank you. Father, for sending your Son to save me. God, that you loved me so much when you saw me in my sin and my shame and my guilt. Even before I was born, God, you sent your Son. And Lord, I want to thank you that you were willing to empty yourself of everything to become nothing. Lord, you were not born into fame. You were not born into wealth. You were not born into royalty, God. You were born from a virgin, God. She was not married yet when you were conceived within her. She had a label. You had a label, God. You were not born in a palace. You were born homeless in a manger. And God, you lived your life and you faced all these things, God, for me. And Lord, you ultimately took all my sin, all my shame, all my guilt upon yourself, God, and you faced the Father so that He could judge you and not me. And Father, I want to thank you for that, God. I want to thank you that I can stand here, God, because of your love, God. I want to thank you, God, that we all can stand here today because of your love. That we know that your love is so much. And because of your death, and because of your resurrection, God, because you took our punishment, Lord, that we deserved upon yourself, and you not only faced the consequences, but you were also raised to new life, and you're seated at the right hand of God, and you're making intercession for us. You are our advocate before the Father. God, that we can come to the Father with boldness, knowing that He loves us with everything. God, I want to thank you for that, God. I want to thank you that you've given us everything so that we can have life eternally. Life abundantly. Life that overflows in the knowledge and the presence of God. In that place of absolute surrender and carefreeness. And God, I want to pray specifically today for those, God, that are worrying about different things in their life. Lord, there are just so many things in this life, Lord, that frustrates and threatens and consumes. God, there are just so many things that eats at us, God, as we worry and stress. God, I want to pray for those that are here today, Lord, that are worrying, stressing. And Father, I want to pray, Father, that they will just in their hearts bring these things to you as you speak to them. Will you say to them, therefore I say to you, because you love me, because you choose to follow me, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. And if that is you, if you're struggling with stuff in your life that you're worrying with, I just want you to raise your hand to God and say, God, this is me, God. Hear my cry, Lord. I'm calling out to you as the high priest that can sympathize with my weakness and my struggles and my fears and my temptations, God. And I'm calling out to you in my time of need for mercy and grace, Father. And I choose to put my trust in you. I choose to take these things, Lord, that consume me, Father. And I place it in your hands and I say, thank you, Father, that you know what I need. Father, I want to pray for these hands. Lord, you can drop them again. Thank you. Father, I want to pray, Father, that you will just come with your peace, Lord, that surpasses all understanding, Father, as they come to you with these things. Lord, I want to give you an opportunity as you are seated. They just go to God in your own words. Just softly before God. God, I want to bring you this stuff. It consumes me, Lord. It worries and stresses. God, I want to give it to you, Lord. And I want to ask you, Father, help me. God, I want to give it to you, Father, and I want to leave it. I want to leave it at your feet, God. And I want to walk away from it. I want to walk away from it. And I want to follow Jesus. Lord, this stuff that I've been carrying, Lord, this sting and the stings, God, I want to leave it, Father. I want to leave it at your feet because I know you know about it. And I know you know what I need and you care for me. You love for me, God. I want to leave it there, Father, at your feet. And I want to walk away from it. And I want to turn my back on it, God. And I want to follow Jesus. I want to see where he's going. I want to give you an opportunity just to speak to God. Father, I pray that you will give them freedom. You'll give them peace. You'll restore their joy. Maybe there are people here today that are speaking about your pursuit in life. Things that you are pursuing. God is speaking to you. He says, my son, my daughter, seek first. Make it a priority first to find my kingdom, my righteousness, my son. And maybe you are here today and you have turned from God. Maybe you have wandered. You started to pursue other things first in your life. God is speaking to you this evening and he's saying, my son, my daughter, I see where you're going and I love you. Won't you turn back to me? Maybe you've never made that decision before. Maybe you've never come to the place where you said, God, I want to surrender my life to you and I want to follow you first. But I have to give you an opportunity. If that is you, God is inviting you today to follow him. If that is you, I just want you to respond to Jesus and say, here I am. I want to follow you. Whether you're doing this for the first time or you're turning back to him as he's speaking to you through his spirit, just respond to him by raising your hand. Say, here I am, Jesus. I want to follow you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. There's another hand. Say, anybody else? Father, I want to thank you for those hands. You can drop them again. Father, I want to thank you. Lord, I want to thank you for speaking to them tonight because this is what it's about tonight, Lord. This is what it's all about when you speak to these two three people, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are saying to them, you are my son. I love you. You are my daughter. I love you. Do not forget that. Follow me. I know where there's life. I know where there's life. Follow me. And I'm so excited that you are turning today because I've given everything for you so that you can have life. Father, I want to thank you for these lives. Lord, I want to thank you what they represent. Father, I want to thank you, Father, that you have come to give them life and life in abundance. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that as they make this decision today, Father, to turn to you, Lord, I want to thank you, Father, that that turning, God, is going to lead them as they follow you to this life that they desire, that they seek after. Lord, I want to thank you, God, that you are restoring to them the promises that you have given them. Lord, I thank you, Father, that goodness and favor will follow them as they follow you, God, all the days of their life. As David declared, Lord, I thank you, God, it will become a reality in their life as they follow you, God, because you know it leads to life. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you, God, for these hearts, Lord. I thank you for all these people, God, and I pray that you will bless us, God, with a hunger and a thirst, God, for your righteousness. Not just a nice to have your kingdom here, Lord. But you have given us, Lord, this hunger and the thirst, this passion, God, just to see your kingdom come, Lord. That there will be a craving within us, God, that we will not be satisfied with anything else, God, but to see your kingdom come and your will be done in our own lives, Lord, in the lives of our families, God, in our homes, Lord, in our workplaces, God. I pray that you kindle that fire again in us, God, to hunger and to thirst, God, for your kingdom, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as we go in this world, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, that we will take this hunger and this thirst, Lord, for your righteousness, God, wherever we go, Lord, that we may be satisfied in it, God, and that the people around us, Lord, may eat and feel and experience the reality of it. So I want to send us today, God. I want to send us, God, with your passion, with your hunger and your thirst, God. And I want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. And go and demand, go seek after, go pursue first kingdom. See how the other things follow you. Amen. Amen. May God bless you. Thank you for coming.